Welcome, everyone, to episode 8 of Ringside Chat Podcast. I'm Gary Freeland, and with me this week is Joe Kaczynski. How you doing, Joe?
What up?
Not much. We're missing Court this week. I guess he took a pretty bad bump at his show today. Court works the indies, as we've talked about before. So he was on his way to the hospital the last time I talked to him. So hopefully everything is okay and he'll be back next week.
Are we sure that this wasn't an ambulance match?
Oh, maybe.
yeah. Hopefully he's all right. I mean, what he was telling us on the phone didn't sound too great. So
no, it did not. So and it wasn't a rat related injury. So that was always good.
There was no bad guacamole.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think I told you this earlier, but this is going to be the hangover edition because, man, whew.
Yeah, me too. I've been keeping Gatorade and Pedialyte in business today. Yesterday was my sister's wedding reception. Just like my sister, everything has to be difficult. She got married a month ago and then went on her honeymoon and then had a reception a month later, which I've never heard anyone do, but she did it. So we had the reception yesterday, and I think I drank my body weight in liquor, and I am paying for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as soon as you decided to bust out the shots, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was a dumb idea. I blame my wife. I think it was her fault. She was peer pressuring me. Yeah, it's better than taking personal responsibility for my actions.
I literally sat on the couch and got up and was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I didn't even make it into the entrance of the bathroom. And I was like, bleh.
Hey, at least you made it home.
That's true.
Before you puke. I didn't have that luxury.
Yeah, I didn't do it in the car.
Oh. I do not drink often. But, man. When I do drink, I drink a large amount, and last night was no exception.
I just want to know why in the hell that when I went up to get the last shot that we did, or that at least I did, and I was like, Jim Beam, sounds like a good idea. Why?
And apparently I was drinking Black Velvet, too, at some point, which I hate Black Velvet. It's disgusting. But that just shows you how wasted I was. And apparently I had a dance-off with my other sister's boyfriend. I don't remember that at all. Yeah, it was one of those days. So, yeah, I agree. Hangover edition, indeed.
Absolutely. So.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
I made it. Last week I was at the watch party for the Penguins, and they won, so despite all the bitching from the Nashville fans in regards to the goal getting called back earlier in the period. But, oh well. It was a good time. It's probably 20,000 people in the building. Probably about another 10 outside. It was a pretty wild scene. I've never gone to one of those before. It was a lot of fun. It was a nail-biter, but I'm glad they won. I didn't have to stay up late in the middle of the week when I'm trying to work. So, but I'm back. I heard you guys bitching in the opener that I missed another episode. Y'all kiss my ass. And I'm going to tell Courtney that whenever he comes back and kiss my ass, too.
Well, at least you missed it for that, not because you had the shits. So.
This is true. Yeah.
But also, too, you, you went to the... Was it 2 weeks ago that you had the same weekend that you went to the Super Indie show?
It was about a week ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so same weekend. Saturday I went to the Super Indie show, put on by a local promotion in Pittsburgh, the International Wrestling Cartel. They've been around forever. I've known about them, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it was like just schedule conflicts or whatever, I haven't gone to any shows until this year. And all the shows that I've gone to have been really good. And this is kind of like their King of the Ring style tournament for the year. And they have a title called the Super Indie title. It was held by Chris LaRusso. He was in the top prospect tournament for Ring of Honor this year. A lot of good talent has come out of the IWC. DJZ, who also participated in this tournament. He's like a legend for that promotion. But this year, they brought in a lot of outside talent. A lot of guys from Ring of Honor, Jay White, Colt Cabana, Jonathan Gresham, Mike Orlando out of the Monster Factory was there. Again, like I said, DJZ was there. Joey Janela from Combat Zone Wrestling was there. Adam Cole was their big get. He had debuted the show prior to this, and their champion, Chris LaRusso. So basically the premise is the champion gives up his title. They have this 8-man tournament. If the champion wins, his reign continues, which has only happened once in the history of this tournament. But if he loses, the title's vacated, and the winner of the tournament ends up becoming the Super Indie Champion. Packed House, they announced it was the biggest crowd they ever had at this building. Probably anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 people, which is a pretty big house for the size of the building it was in. It was pretty cramped. I had really good seats, front row. You can check the show out at indiewrestling.us. It's $10. I'd really recommend it. The show was great. It started with Cole and DJZ, which I thought was crazy that DJZ was even wrestling, considering just 2 months ago he had that nasty injury in Mexico, almost cost him his life. And you could tell he had his surgery done in Mexico because he had a pretty gnarly star across his abdomen. Match was kind of short, but it was a really good match, fast-paced, and Cole ended up winning. All the matches were excellent throughout the show. The next one was Janela and Cabana. It's more of a comedy-style match, playing off the bad boy role of Janela. Back and forth action. Janela ended up winning with a coup de grace off the top rope. Again, a shorter, maybe 8, 9, 10 minute match. Pretty good match for the time span that they had. The next first round match was Jonathan Gresham and Jay White. Again, excellent back and forth action. Gresham, I can't say enough about the guy. I watch a lot of Ring of Honor, and I kind of slept on this guy for a while. I mean, they don't really do anything with him there. And we're going to kind of talk about that today later once I get off this topic. But he really just shined throughout this tournament. He made it clear to the final against Adam Cole. He's just tremendous in the ring. Smaller guy, and I didn't really understand how small he was until he got in with some of these other guys. Real small, maybe. He's probably 5'7", 5'8", maybe. But super talented. He actually reminds me a lot of Daniel Bryan. And he has this octopus stretch that he uses. He kind of likens it to Randy Orton's RKO. He can hit it from anywhere. And they really played on that all night. Great back and forth with Jay White. Jay White's another up-and-comer that's going to do a lot of big things. ROH is really kind of pushing him as the next big guy. But Gresham came out on top here. An excellent match. Hopefully Jay White will be back in IWC. And then the last first-round match was LaRusso and Mike Orlando. And if you're not familiar with Chris LaRusso, I would say he's very much like The Miz. Actually, the crowd was chanting Discount Miz at him pretty much the entire night. Tons of heat for him, which I thought was a pretty clever chant. Orlando tried to hit a plancha over the top rope about three-quarters way through this match. I thought he killed himself. I don't know if he clipped his foot on the top rope or what he did, but he took the nastiest tumble and hit his head off the outside of the apron and kind of landed on everyone, but it was a really ugly scene. He got up, was perfectly okay. I don't know how, but he ended up losing through a schmoz finish with LaRusso's managers on the outside. In the semifinals, they had Adam Cole and Joey Janela. Probably the match of the night outside the final. Cole and they had great chemistry. It was just an awesome match. Again, I can't recommend this show enough. Cole ended up coming out on top. And then, which probably got the biggest pop of the night, was Gresham defeating the current champion Chris LaRusso in the other semifinal match. again, catching him with that octopus hold. And as soon as La Russa tapped, the roof blew off that building. And super loud pop for Gresham getting over. And Gresham had made the final the year before, and that was kind of the story they were selling, that he was trying to get over the hump. And La Russa was just completely despised by everyone there. So when he lost, they really lost their minds. There's a couple other matches in between that. Britt Baker, who's the IWC Women's Champion, and you'll probably see popping up on the WWE's Women's Tournament coming up, that she's one of the rumored names. Awesome talent. If you haven't seen her, I'd recommend searching her on YouTube. She wrestled someone I wasn't real familiar with, Penelope Ford. Great back and forth. A lot of, not wardrobe malfunctions per se, but Britt lost some of her hair extensions at one point, and I think Penelope lost her eyelashes, so that was kind of funny, but it was a great match. Britt, again, retained her title. She's had the title for a while now. And then the IWC champion, Wardlow, tagged up with Jack Pollock and defeated Andrew Palace and Jimmy Vegas. And it was a okay tag team match, probably the worst match of the night. It wasn't bad by any stretch. It was a lot of it was kind of a brawl, but in comparison to everything else, it was probably the worst match of the night. And then the final match, Cole and Gresham, 27 minutes, back and forth, old school wrestling at its finest. I honestly think Jim Cornette would have loved this match. Cole was selling an arm injury since the second round. Gresham was selling a knee. Back and forth, they were working both injuries throughout the match. It played into the finish, and Cole ended up winning the tournament and the title. And his girlfriend in real life, Britt Baker, the champion, the women's champion, came out and celebrated with him. So Adam Cole will be back at IWC to at least one more show. He's booked for the July 22nd show. I don't have the name in front of me right now, but he will be defending the Super Indie title there. So I will be there. I already have my tickets purchased for that. I am really looking forward to it. But if you guys want to check this show out, I would definitely go on indiewrestling.us. It's $10, digital download, or if you want the disc version, it's $10 also, and they ship it to you. Great quality, HD, 1080p. Can't recommend IWC enough. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, check them out. Tickets are really cheap. Very fan friendly. But again, probably the best show I've seen of theirs. I've seen pretty much all their shows this year in some form or fashion, but this one was just outstanding from top to bottom.
Yeah, that sounds like a good show. I look forward to seeing it on whenever you get me a copy of the show. So I look forward to looking at it, because I am a big Adam Cole fan. The next show on the 22nd, it's called Threat Level Midnight, and they already have Gresham, Cole advertised, and DJ Z, Anthony Henry, Lufisto, Britt Baker, Wardlow, and Jack Pollock. So those are what they got on the card right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like they've have any matches set up, but they do have another show in August, Caged Fury. So, who knows if Adam Cole will be at that one as well.
Good.
I was just gonna say that I think that from what, you know, just to piggyback on what you had said, I've heard nothing but good things about the IWC and the or ICW or whatever, what they run. And it seems like it gets a lot of big names.
They do. They had the Hardys. They were a couple months ago. They had the Hardys at one of their shows. Right after they appeared and won the titles at WrestleMania, they had Ryback, Ricky Steamboat, Ken Kennedy was there, Ken Anderson. Like I said, very fan interactive, fan friendly. Always enjoyed going. Since I've been going this year, all the shows have been great. Even when they're not star-laden, the shows. Of their talent, their in-house talent is really good. Good on the mic, very good in the ring. A lot of different, they don't look all the same, which I would say is one of my biggest complaints. They've changed a little bit recently, but with the WWE is that everyone kind of looks the same. Not here at all. A lot of different characters. But yeah, they're a lot of fun. Definitely check them out if you can. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun going to these shows. It's been a real cool thing to go and do. It's a cheap night out. The building they're in is nice. Kind of has that old school Memphis feel to it, the lighting and everything. When you watch some of the shows, you'll understand what I mean by that. It's kind of dark and dingy, but it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to go. And I would definitely check it out. I'll be curious to see how long Adam Cole sticks around. There's a lot of rumors with him possibly going to the WWE here, possibly by the end of the summer. So I don't know if the next show, the next one in July, will be his last, or if he's going to be sticking around for a while. But it's a huge get for them. It really is if he sticks around for a while. And I'm excited to see what they'll do with him. A lot of potentially interesting matchups. I'd love to see him and Gresham hook up again. That match was excellent. I'd really like to see him and LaRusso square off. They kind of built an angle the show prior to this, and that's, I think, was kind of what everyone was expecting in the final with him and LaRusso, which kind of made that Gresham victory all that much more interesting because it was a surprise. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about them. It's a really good product.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Adam Cole is even there, because with his contract being up at Ring of Honor, and I mean, I wasn't expecting the WWE to hurry up and jump at him so quickly, but I mean, it seems like they're just taking their time going after him. And I know New Japan is the other one that's kind of been floating around now that they, especially now that they have a North American title being created and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they're kind of looking at him and even Omega as the people to maybe put that title on if he were to sign. So. Yeah, I mean, it's very possible that, I just think he's having fun right now, so it's very possible he could stick around for a little while or what, because, I mean, he doesn't really have to jump anywhere right now.
No. And I had heard some rumors that WWE has been kind of skittish lately with bringing people in right away after they leave a company because of the Hardy situation that they're dealing with, trying to get the broken gimmick, all that legal bullshit that they are dealing with Impact Wrestling. So I'm wondering if that's kind of playing a role, but I think he would be an excellent fit at NXT. I mean, I think he's talented enough that he could make a hop to the main roster and do sort of the similar thing that AJ did. But I would be perfectly okay with him going right to NXT. I think he'd be a good fit there. They need top level guys there. They've kind of been sucked dry recently with losing Nakamura and Baylor and those guys. So he could be that one of those next guys that come in from the indies and help fill out the top of the card, give Bobby Roode another opponent, give Drew McIntyre another opponent, and I think he would do well there. But I'd also love to see him stick around in New Japan and be one of the anchors for their American branch that they're trying to build. That's starting on July 1st. It's right around the corner here in a couple weeks. So I know he's not on any of those cards to my knowledge. But I think he would be a tremendous asset to them and to give them that anchor that they so desperately are going to need to kind of get eyes on their product here in a bigger way.
Oh, absolutely. And to go back to NXT for a second, I mean, the nice thing is he's 28 years old, so he's already accomplished, I think, a lot given his age. So even if you let him stay in NXT for 2-3 years, if he were to come up to the main roster, I mean, he's going to be in his early 30s. So, I mean, that's still a long time for him to be with the company. And you're right, their NXT is so depleted right now. And I mean, I haven't really watched it in a couple weeks, so it seems like that. I mean, I don't know. It seems like the women's are probably more of a focus right now than the men are. So yeah, they definitely need some help. And you're right. And New Japan would be great. I'm still waiting on the Kenny Omega Adam Cole match because it seemed like that was him getting kicked out would be the inevitable thing. So I don't know if that'll ever happen down the road or what. So yeah. I hope only things are the best for him.
Yeah, I think that would be a great storyline to build him into the American brand, because in that tournament, Kenny Omega and Cody, I believe, are both involved in that American U.S. title or whatever they're calling it. Tournament, or involved in that brand at least, so it would make so much sense for him to run in. Cody's wrestling Okada for the title on that first night. Have Adam Cole make a run and cost Cody the title. There's an instant feud there. He could feud with Kenny Omega, because Kenny Omega was the one that kind of pulled the trigger, so to speak, on getting him kicked out of the Bullet Club. He's in that tournament. Have him interrupt in night two and cost him the U.S. title. There's a built-in feud that I would love to see. Omega and Adam Cole, I think, would put on tremendous matches. It would be a great headliner feud for that new branch of New Japan. Or you have him find a tag team partner and go after the Bucks. I'm sure there are more than enough enemies that would want to go after the Bullet Club that he could pair up with, and it could and lead to a lot of interesting pairings and matchups. So I think there's a lot of interesting ways you could use him in New Japan. And I've also heard that Impact is interested in Cole as well. So he kind of has his pick of where he wants to go. And say what you want about Impact Wrestling, they've been doing a lot of interesting things lately since they've kind of rebooted, so to speak, with the new management team from the Fight Network. And he would be an instant top-level guy there.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you probably could help build, if you were to go there, you could essentially, I would think, just help build the company around him like they did with Styles a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that would make sense, too. And I know, Jeff has that connection. He's very familiar with the Bullet Club and New Japan and everything like that. So, I mean, it would make sense for him to be looking at a guy like Cole. And I mean, and then you look at a place like Ring of Honor, you now don't have him. So essentially you still got the mainstays like Jay Lethal and stuff. But I would think now with him gone, you're going to see people like a Jay White that was on the show. And probably our Marty Scurll getting that push now alongside with Cody Rhodes. And they almost, I feel like they almost need to find some more younger talent too, because, I mean, you would have to think it's only a matter of time before Jay Lethal leaves. And or Marty Scurll or any of them.
Yeah, and like I said, Jonathan Gresham is right there. They just signed him again. He's a guy in that company already that they don't use that could have such a bigger role in that company and would fit. And there were so many potentially interesting matchups, like you mentioned, Jay Lethal. I think Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham could have a hell of a match. There's a lot of talent in Ring of Honor. And Jonathan Gresham's kind of sitting there, and they could book him, and they've done it before with Daniel Bryan in a similar fashion to Daniel Bryan, and he would get over. There's no doubt in my mind. After watching him in that tournament, he wrestled nearly an hour that night, and it was nonstop. Every match he was in was just action-packed from bell to bell. He could definitely be an impact player in Ring of Honor if given a chance.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much from him. I've been a little bit behind on my Ring of Honor, but yeah, anything that would be fresh and new for this company, I think would help them out. I always like Ring of Honor. I like the pay-per-views they put on and the shows that we've been to. But it just lately, I just think a little bit of their stuff's been a little stale, just because I think it's the same guys pretty much all the time. So, you know, this next pay-per-view should you know, tell us a little bit of what's going on, because they got Cody Rhodes and Brian Christopher for the title, but or Christopher Daniels. Why did I say Brian Christopher? Anyways, well.
The Hangover.
Jim Beam. Anyways, I really feel like that they need something, and even the WWE is a little bit stale at this point. So yeah, I think that they could use something, and maybe Gresham's it.
I'm kind of interested about this next Ring of Honor pay-per-view, because with New Japan starting this American branch and really trying to expand their business here stateside, I think Cody Rhodes kind of plays an interesting role in that, because we don't know how their relationship with Ring of Honor and New Japan is going to be with New Japan coming over to the States now in a more regular basis, if that relationship, that strong relationship that they've had for years, is going to hold up. Judging by these first two cards, it looks like it will. However, that doesn't mean that it will last forever, because essentially they're going to become direct competitors. But what I find interesting is Cody is in the title match at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. A lot of people are expecting him to go over, become the Ring of Honor champion. I'd be all for that. I love Christopher Daniels. I've always been a huge fan of Christopher Daniels. Always felt like he's, even in Ring of Honor, definitely an Impact, always been underutilized. I'd have loved to seen him and what he could have done in the WWE. I think he could have had a big career there if been given the opportunity. But I think it's time to give Cody that chance to run with the ball. He's never had that chance to be the world champion, to be the guy. But what's interesting is that very first show, that July 1st show, he's wrestling Okada for the IWGP Championship. And at that time, he could be the Ring of Honor champion. So
yeah,
it's not out of the realm of possibility that he wins both titles. And that leads to a lot of interesting prospects, not only within Ring of Honor and New Japan, but within the Bullet Club, because Omega has failed on both occasions to secure that IWGP championship. And if Cody goes in his first opportunity and wins, what kind of tensions will that create between Omega and Cody and the Young Bucks? Where will the Young Bucks' loyalties lie, with the champion or the guy that has admittedly failed twice going for that IWGP title?
Yeah, and I think that when you look at those videos that the Bucks and them do, it always seems to me that Cody's, you know, he's obviously going for kind of like his American Psycho type gimmick or whatever, where you could tell there's something going on with him. So it wouldn't shock me that he's slowly trying to take over the club away from Omega, and maybe build towards that for down the road and stuff. So that would make fantastic sense if he were to win against Okada on July 1st.
And it could, if again, to go back to Adam Cole, where does that put him if he is brought into New Japan for this American branch, and that plays where Cody and Omega kind of are at odds? How does Adam Cole play into that? Maybe he does the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of deal and tries to bring Omega over onto his side, even though Omega was the reason he's out of the Bullet Club. Or maybe Cody tries to bring him in to push Omega out. It's a lot of different things that you could play with that would be very interesting, and it would help. I think with all the action, the action is going to translate here. The New Japan action, if people give it a chance, that hard-hitting, fast-paced style that they have is going to get over. what they are going to struggle with an American audience is having captivating storylines. That's what's going to bring the general audience in, and having this history and being able to build upon that, I think, with those four guys that are so talented, I think could be the key to kind of expanding their marketplace here in America.
Oh, I totally agree, because I think that, you know, there's such a nostalgia for the NWO and stuff. So essentially putting all your New Japan, putting all their chips in on the club makes perfect sense, especially if you're going to do it over here. And I think once these fans, really, a lot of these fans that don't know that much about New Japan, once they start getting into it, they're going to discover, you know, other great talent like Naito, Kushida, Okada, and all them. And I think it should help the brand out. And I'm just curious, moving forward, how they go about these U.S. shows. I mean, are they going to start, you know, are they going to, like, bring in, like, guys like Kevin Kelly to do the commentary? I know JR is gone, so you really can't use him.
So, he's doing both.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I'm just curious to see how they're going to go about integrating into the United States down the road. Because I know that that's a big market that they've never really tackled before.
I do think that they have the talent and the ability to do so. It's just whether they can get on a television channel that people are actually going to tune into. No offense to the one they're currently on. And they do get a lot of views for that channel. But overall, that's not going to be enough, and it's not in enough homes for that. But if they can get on a channel that's in most cable packages, basic cable packages, and people are going to find wrestling if they want to find it, I think it's just a matter of people giving it a chance. Mm-hmm. And I've had New Japan World for a few years, pretty much since they've had it available over here. And the language barrier has never been an issue. That's always what I hear. Oh, I don't understand what they're saying. It's irrelevant. They tell the story in the ring. So if you're appreciative of that old school style and they modernize it, I think it'll get over here. And it's so different from the WWE in all the best ways possible that I think it could be a viable number two here. If it's just a matter of getting eyeballs on it.
Yeah, and I think that you look at a channel like say Spike. I mean, I've been hearing on different shows and reading stuff that, you know, Spike is interested in bringing wrestling back, but they've just been, you know, just, you know, testing the waters out a little bit. And I think that that's a, you know, that would be a station that I, if I'm New Japan, that I would try to get on. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you've already got UFC and Bellator and stuff like that. So, I mean, they would get the views. You never know.
And they're just rebranding that channel. So.
Okay. So, yeah, so there's that.
So that you could get right in with the rebranding, and they're going to be promoting that hardcore. So if you get on board with them during that, I think they're going to be called the Paramount Network or something like that. That would be huge for them, too, because Paramount's a huge company, and they're going to put a lot of money in behind whatever they decide to back up. So why not?
Right.
Get on that train while you can.
Yeah. And also too, I know they have that relationship with ROH. So I'm, they got Sinclair Broadcasting. So I mean, that could also be a viable partner too. At least that one, you don't have to worry about necessarily having a cable package, because you could all, you know, you could put it on a Fox affiliate or anything like that, like they do ROH. It would just be a matter of people being able to find the shows and stuff. And anymore now, like with ROH, I mean, they have that Fight app, and hell, you can watch, you know, anytime you want to. So, I mean, there's an option there too, even though they have their own streaming service. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they're going to do. So, but
yep.
One of the okay, so we've talked a little bit about the New Japan stuff, and we talked about a little bit about Omega and Okada, and I know a lot of people are bitching about Meltzer and his star ratings on the most recent Dominion show match with Omega and Okada. I find it very funny that while it is a fantastic match, and I definitely think it tops the Wrestle Kingdom match they had in January, I just think it's funny the amount of fan butthurt that we're seeing right now with the fact that Meltzer, who even though he borrowed the concept and he's made it popular, you know, he could do whatever he wants, and the fans are getting butthurt because he gave it 6 1/4 stars or whatever.
Yeah. he is just trolling. That's all he's doing. And people just eat it hook, line, and sinker. It's the same thing Mark Madden does. He did it all the way through his time during WCW. He does it still now. That's why he's number one in the market. It's the same thing Howard Stern does. People are going to listen to you more. They're going to pay to see you more if they hate you than they do if they like you. So Meltzer is a genius in that sense, where he just trolls the shit out of people with these star ratings. And at the end of the day, who gives a shit? If you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. You don't have to agree with him. And yeah, like you said, people get their nips in a twist over that 6 1/4 stars and a 6 star. Who gives a fuck? The match was awesome. Both matches were great. But at the end of the day, that star rating means jack shit.
Right, and I think that, you know, when you look at it, you know, you're right. All the matches are subjective to what your tastes are. I mean, I'm sure that there are people that could watch the Flair trilogy with Steamboat or the Terry Funk match or whatever and say, wow, Meltzer gave it 4 stars on this, but I'd say maybe a 3 or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're right. At the end of the day, if you like the match, you like the match. And I think when Meltzer did it the first time, he was being honest. But then after that, I think he got so much flack. He's just like, well, fuck it. Next one they have is great. I'm going to give it, you know, what I give it. So it cracks me up. But reading this week and last week about people bitching about that.
It's at the end of the day, it's silly. And like you said, you're right. Everyone has their own opinion on things. Some people like the New Japan style. Some people like the WWE style. There's so many things in between that, different promotions doing different things. You can literally find any style of wrestling you want. Even if it doesn't take place in the current time, you can go back on the network or go back on New Japan World or go back on all these streaming services. High Spots has all these shows from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You can literally go back and watch all those over again if that's what you prefer. So at the end of the day, if you don't like it, just fucking tune out. And to kind of go off that and to go into our next topic, a lot of people are doing that with the WWE right now. They just took, I think it was just a few weeks ago, they had one of the lowest ratings they've ever had for Raw. It's under 2 now on a consistent basis, which I would have never guessed in a million years they've ever gotten to that point. And it's continually dropping. So we're getting to where TNA at their highest was right around a 1, 1.2, 1.5, somewhere there. They would bounce around. We're getting to TNA-esque numbers with the viewership with the WWE right now, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that, I'll admit, I haven't watched since WrestleMania, but I check in, I read stuff. And so I get the updates, and there's really nothing that I hear that has really caused me to want to go back and watch. Now I've watched the pull apart with Lesnar and Joe, and that was great. But yeah, it's shocking to me that I know that television has changed, even, you know, given, you know, 5-6 years ago, but how far that they've dropped, and it just seems like, meh, they don't really seem to really bother them. They just continue to keep going the course.
Which is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand, unless they don't care about ratings anymore and they have different metrics maybe that we're not seeing or privy to measure their viewership. But you can't – people blame this on, oh, people DVR, they don't watch it live anymore. I don't believe that losing really almost 80% of your audience over the last decade or so is because DVRs came into form. I don't believe that at all. That's a huge amount of numbers to lose, to drop between 60 to 80% of your audience in a decade, 10 to 15 years. That's DVR and the internet is not the only cause for that. And it's a shame because there is a ton of talent in the WWE right now. So many talented. They may have the best roster that they've talent-wise that they've ever had. And that's including the Golden Era. That's including the Attitude Era. They have, from top to bottom, they have tremendous talent. Cesaro, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, I mean, Bray Wyatt, the list goes on and on and on. And to just put out a product that is so dull week in and week out. And I don't want to talk about that. I've been a fan of the WWE since basically I was old enough to have a memory. And to see where it is now, especially with the amount of talent they have, is really just depressing and sad.
Well, they essentially, I mean, have most of the main eventers that ever wrestled for ROH there. And so these are guys that can carry the ball, they can carry a load. I mean, I know WWE is a bigger monster than ROH is, but still, they have the talent there, and the fact that you get these convoluted storylines, or you get things that go nowhere, or essentially everybody's wrestled each other at least 500 times. I'm not saying that you need to go back to the Job Squad or whatever, but son of a bitch, I mean, you got, how many times can we see, you know, Styles wrestle Wrestler X before it doesn't mean anything? And I know, and like you said, that, you know, DVR I don't think is the issue. There's a lot of, you know, people nowadays that cut the cord, but you can still watch it through Hulu. You can still watch it through Sling TV and other avenues. So I just think that the people that go to the shows are ones that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's cruddy or it doesn't matter if it's good. It's just something they've always done, so they're going to go. Or they're bringing their kids or things like that. But they're missing the demographic, though. And that's where it's... They want the little kids to come out, but the little kids aren't the ones spending the money. It's the older ones. It's that type of demographic that they need to strive for. And I think that, you know, given the shows that we've gone to there, that I see more kids than I do, you know, people our age going with their parents. And I don't know. I don't know what the business model is for them right now. I mean, it almost seems like it's getting to a point that I think eventually they're just going to get, once their contract's up with USA, they're just going to go, all right, we'll just put everything on the network.
They may have to if they don't. I mean, if these ratings continue to drop, at some point, I would imagine USA is going to say enough's enough with this. And why are we spending this amount of money? I think the contract was right around $200 million this last go around. Why are we spending this much money to keep you on there, on the air? I'm sure they're gonna. I don't think they'll ever go completely network only, because they. The reason why they keep the 3 hours is they said they would lose $40 million if they cut that third hour, which I'll get into my complaints about how long the shows are in a minute. So I think they make a lot of money from their TV deals, but I can't imagine their deal, their next deal is going to be as for nearly as much as this last one was. And even the last one, if you remember, was much less than what they thought they were going to get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems like to me, when you look at shows like NXT and you look at shows like SmackDown, even though SmackDown's ratings are kind of right around where the W or Raw's is, but it seems like that 2-hour format works really well, and it also cuts out a lot of that comedy crap that you have. I think on SmackDown, the only comedy you have really is, well, now they got New Day, so there will be a little bit of that, but you got, I think, Ellsworth and Carmella, that's it. And I think that helps, because when you look at a 3-hour Raw, you have, oh my God, the spots where they're doing essentially a commercial. You got these other, the Goldust and R-Truth joking around, and well, it becomes to the point where it's almost like, all right, I know to tune in at the beginning and towards the end, because anywhere in between,
yep,
not going to be anything. And the Hulu version of Raw,
and I think,
is perfect.
I think bringing up NXT is a great point, because that is a WWE product, and it feels nothing like the WWE. And I think a lot of that has to do with they only have an hour of television a week instead of five, and you don't see everyone every week. And when they do, or when they are on there, they may not be on there for very long. Where Raw, you may see Seth Rollins 6 or 7 times that night, or you may see Bayley 6 or 7 times that night. You kind of lose that appeal if you're seeing them constantly. Whereas to go back to the golden era when they were running the prime time and All American Wrestling and Superstars and Wrestling Challenge and all those shows that were an hour long, you may only see Hogan wrestle during sweeps month. So he may only be on television wrestling a match once or twice a year, if that.
Right.
And he was sold strictly to be on pay-per-view, where now you see their top guys wrestle literally every week. So why am I tuning into the pay-per-view when I can see them every week? And I think a lot of it is just that constant repetitive nature, and I think a lot of it's lazy booking, too. If you have any tag team feud over the last few years, it's usually Team A and Team B, and Partner A and Partner A wrestle 1 week, and then Partner B and Partner B wrestle 1 week, and then they switch. So that's 4 weeks of booking, and then there's all kinds of schmozzes. It's literally the same storyline for 3 years, and even your most casual fan is going to get tired of that. It's the same thing over and over and over again, and I know they have to fill those 3 hours, but I refuse to believe that it's strictly just the time that's creating the storyline problems. Because like I said before, probably the most talented roster they've had ever, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. But, and they've probably in-ring, probably the best they've ever been. I would argue it's the best it's ever been in-ring.
Oh, absolutely.
But everything else is probably at its lowest point. It is so bad. I've stopped watching. I really have. And it's a shame, because I am a WWE fan, but I cannot watch it. It's too much time to watch, and the product's not good enough to hold me for that long.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, one of the things that I hate when they set up a storyline is that, you know, you'll get that. For example, we'll say Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. They will wrestle 3 or 4 times before their pay-per-view match. And it's like, well, you've already given it to
yep.
me for free. I mean, I know I'm paying $9.99 for the network, so it's kind of, you know, it's not paying $30, but still, why do I have to tune in now for this one? Is there going to be something different? I mean, are we going to see somebody, you know, pull out a gun and shoot the other guy? Like, what are you going to do to entice me to come in and watch this? And it's freaking sad, because the WWE essentially has no competition. So you would think that they would still try to have quality or quality control over their product. Instead, it's like, well, we're you know head and shoulders above number one company in the world. So, it would take a lot for us to go bankrupt or whatever for our fans to hate us. So we'll just put it out there. And
yeah, I don't. Go ahead. Yeah, I know. It's hard to talk about. We could really do a few shows on the guys they've just completely butchered over the last 10 years. I mean, Wade Barrett comes to mind. The whole Nexus really comes to mind of guys they just completely wasted. And I go back to that SummerSlam match where they just completely just ran through all the WWE guys, just ran through the Nexus, who you had to build up for months as this badass group just fucking causing chaos on the shows. It was one of the most interesting things they had done in years. And Super Cena comes in, beats them, and that's it. Barrett never goes over in any of their title matches. You could have made a star with him. He's a hell of a talker. So-so in the ring, but in WWE that doesn't matter. And he was over at that time as a heel. So why not go with him? Why not give him a chance? I will say, as much as I didn't agree with it at the beginning of Jinder Mahal getting that title reign, it's been going well for him. And he is a legitimate heel in the sense that people aren't going to cheer for him like they cheer for the Bullet Club, who are supposed to be heels, or LIJ that's supposed to be heels, or any of these other pretty much every heel in the company in WWE. He may be the only legitimate guy that gets heel heat.
Right, and they did the perfect thing.
So go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say they did the perfect thing by giving him the Bollywood boys as he's obviously bigger than they are. I mean, so they're not going to be his heaters, but at least they have something. Whereas, you know, you look at somebody like Bray Wyatt, who was another one that they've butchered the hell out of. And he's a cult leader with no followers. So,
yeah, and I could do a whole episode on Bray Wyatt and how they've just wrecked him. I don't understand. He should have been a slam dunk. I don't get how they messed that up. He could have been, and I mean, this is big shoes to fill. He could have been, honestly, been the next Undertaker in the sense of that type of character and being that special attraction. He had that ability to do that. But they never gave him really a mission. He came on, he would cut those promos and they're great, but there was really no direction that his character was going to. He kind of just talked in riddles. If you'd have gave him direction and allowed him to bring in guys into that almost like a Raven's flock type of deal, like that first feud he had with Kane, Rowan and Harper took Kane off after he won that match, why not add Kane to the group? Have him take him back to his compound, brainwash him, and have Kane become part of that group. What the hell was Kane doing that was so important at that time that he needed to not be in that faction? It would have gave another guy something to do. It would have been a lot more interesting than he was doing, because I sure as hell can't think of what it was that he was doing after that. I think he was, wasn't he corporate Kane after that? That shit was terrible.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
Yeah.
So why not do that? Why not? Or fucking McGillicuddy, any of those guys, Bo Dallas, all these lower guys that you're not doing dick with anyway, they're just basically main event fodder, the show, not the actual main event, and throw them in that group. Have him have a big fucking cult and have Harper and Rowan be his heavies and have just a bunch of other little minions that can do stuff, that you can do stuff with, anything really.
Right.
Really anything.
Yeah, I mean, you have Bo Dallas, and obviously you got that connection there. And, you know, you had Curtis Axel. I mean, the man's got a beard, so, you know, what the hell. But even when they had him, Braun Strowman in there with him, and I really thought that, okay, well, this would make sense. Now you got four guys, as opposed to just being the three, and you got this big monster. And then that went nowhere. And I'm kind of glad they pulled him away from it, but still, I mean, it wasn't like he got anything out of it. I mean, you could, and to me,
no, and
it doesn't mean anything when him and Bray Wyatt, you know, square off in a match somewhere. It doesn't mean anything. But well, he was with the Wyatts, yeah, for like,
no,
you know, 2 minutes.
And in 2014, when they were starting to heat him up, and he had that win over Daniel Bryan, and he got involved in the Cena Orton match at the Rumble, and they kind of built him up like he was going to be something, they had Cena run over him at Mania, which made no fucking sense. Does John Cena need that win at WrestleMania more than Bray Wyatt did? Hell fucking no, he didn't. I would argue that John Cena, regardless of how over he is, may be the worst booked wrestler over the last decade. And that's saying something considering the dozens of people they've really ruined. And it's a testament of how good John Cena is that he was still able to be over and to get over with the fans in the way that he has. They have done him zero favors, and they're really doing it with Reigns, and Reigns is not as talented as Cena, and that's why he's kind of struggling right now on Raw. Cena, they've done him zero favors in regards to building any sort of legitimate feud for him, legitimate rival for him, and putting him on this perch for everyone. Really, AJ, until AJ came along, he didn't have that guy since Edge. So we're talking several years before he had some equal that he could play off of. I honestly think Wyatt could have been that guy. There's a lot of other guys on that show that could have been that. Owens could have been that guy. Reigns could be that guy if they make him a heel, which I feel would be the natural fit for him. There are guys on that roster that could be that guy. But for whatever reason, Cena must pose and go over. And it's not his fault. It isn't. But it's just their booking philosophy. It makes little to no sense to me.
Yeah, and I thought that...
Look, when they...
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say that I thought Rusev was another one that they were, you know, building a strong program with. And much like Wyatt, the previous WrestleMania, they, you know, Rusev comes out in a damn tank and gets squashed. And for
yeah, he's another. They did, and that was the year right after. Yeah, another guy that they have used poorly since, and could be another guy, another monster heel that they could have to bounce these baby faces off. That would be a legitimate heel, a guy that can work in the ring, can talk, and can get heat, which is damn near non-existent in the WWE right now. And again, Cena steamrolled him. Again, did John Cena need that win? I think you could book John Cena to lose most major pay-per-view matches, and he's in that status where it would not impact his overness with the fans. It wouldn't. But you could get so many people over by doing so. But they won't. They refuse to do that, and they're going to do the same thing with Reigns. They're going to force Reigns down your throat, and that's why people are going to hate him.
And it's funny because I've seen on Twitter with Reigns and stuff, when he interacts with fans, and especially fans that are negative towards him, and his responses are so flipping great. And I'm like, where is that personality? Why aren't we seeing that on the show? Because if you would give me that, then at least that's something, rather than you know, the bland Superman babyface. Because, I mean, that's not what he is. But I don't, I mean, unless it's a toy thing or something, I don't know why.
This is the thing, though. WWE's not even following their own formula on how to make a star. Every major star except for Hogan that was the face of the company has had a significantly successful heel run before they turned babyface. Austin, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and Cena, even.
Yeah, Brett said.
They all had significant heel runs. And you can see it. Yeah, those Twitter responses you have are hilarious. And the promo that he cut where he just stood in the center of the ring and didn't say anything, and then he said, "This is," after he beat Taker, and then he said, "This is my yard now." Probably his best promo of his entire career.
Yeah.
It was four or five words, and the crowd was ready to kill him. He has that ability to be the heel. And I go back to when the Shield beat Evolution, clean sweep them, and that six-man tag, and then the next night, Rollins turned and they split the Shield up as fucking those guys' careers up because they turned the wrong guy. Rollins really did not fit what they were selling heel Triple H authority figure as wanting. Reigns is that guy. That would have made the sense there. You could add, and Rollins, if you don't remember, was probably the most over guy in that group as far as a babyface is concerned. He had a babyface offense. He had that babyface look, and they could have worked him from underneath with Reigns as the top heel. That would have been far more interesting for both of those guys. Now you see all three Shield members at one time, the hottest group in the company. Again, one of the most interesting things they had going on at that time, all really kind of floundering. Seth Rollins is not connecting as a babyface because they fucked that up. They brought him back as a heel. Made no sense after that injury. After that big, giant documentary they made for him that was a babyface documentary, if I've ever seen one.
Mm-hmm.
You could have got him back over. Nope, bring him back as a heel. Makes no fucking sense. Forcing Reigns as the top babyface. Again, total garbage. Does not work for him. Not yet, until he can get that edge. If he can, like you said, channel that Twitter rage that he's been showing lately, I think that would get over with the fans. And what the fuck is going on with Dean Ambrose? He's never been a superstar in the ring, but go back and watch anything John Moxley related in his interviews and his promos and compare it to now. It is fucking brutal what they've done to him. It is a fucking shame. He's probably the best talker they have on the entire roster. And there's some good talkers in the WWE now. But I don't know if it's motivation or he just doesn't care, or he got complacent, or they're just fucking him royally and he won't say anything. But he is not the same guy. Not even close.
Mm-mm.
It's depressing.
No, I think that he's definitely...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think he definitely is... I think it's probably all the above. I think he's being complacent. I think if you even listen to that Austin podcast, I mean, it's kind of telling where you could tell that he's just like, I just don't care because I do what they tell me to do. I go out there and do it. I'm sure he knows it's stupid. And I'm sure that he sees what they're doing. And it's like, he's probably just, fuck it. Whatever. I'll just go out there and do it. I'll collect my paycheck. And it's also telling too when you look when they broke the team up. You know, Rollins gets new ring attire and gets a new theme. Ambrose, same thing. He gets a new. Then you look at Reigns. He keeps the Shield music, the Shield entrance, and he keeps his gear. Nothing's changed. And it's like, well, why?
Mm-mm.
Why shouldn't all three of them get something different? You know, that never makes sense to me.
Yeah, and this is not the shit on Reigns. I think he's talented, and I definitely think he could be that guy, that next guy, if they do it correctly. not be ADHD and want everything right now, and let him build naturally. He's a young guy. There's no need to rush him to the top. Have him turn heel, be a heel for a while, get his legs underneath him, and then turn him. The crowd's going to turn him eventually. That's been the tried and true method for 30 years, so why try to force anything different? You have plenty of guys on there that can be the babyface guy. Honestly, Braun Strowman could be the babyface if they wanted to. He's over with the crowd. It would not be hard to turn him. Hell, Brock's practically a babyface at this point. The way they book him, that the fans react to him in a babyface way, Braun could be that guy. Honestly, I think Braun should be that guy. Mm-hmm. Braun, and that would be a way to turn Reigns. Braun's kind of surpasses Reigns. That spot that he believes he should have goes, runs through Brock whenever they have their match, and Reigns pissed off that this guy who's nearly killed him with that ridiculous bus flipping or whatever fuck they were doing with that 20 minute attack, which was hilarious. And he comes back and wants to wreck this guy. And I think they had a good match already. I think they have good chemistry, and that could be Reigns' arch enemy for the next several years. If you book it correctly.
Yeah, and then you look forward. They're talking about, or at least Meltzer saying that the plan is, depending on how the Joe and Lesnar feud goes, that the plan is that either SummerSlam or WrestleMania, Reigns is beating Lesnar for the title. And again, it may work. Anything's possible, but I just don't see that the fans are going to take to that much.
Nope.
Because that essentially means if they do it at Mania, that means that Reigns has to essentially win the Royal Rumble, unless they with the brand split, they just do that weird thing. Fans ain't going to want that.
Yeah. They haven't wanted it the last 3 or 4 years. They've tried that, and it's not going to work again. Him beating Taker at Mania went over like a hot fart in church. And there's a reason for that. He is not there yet. Not even close. And it's not any... I don't think it's his fault. It's the way he's been booked and positioned. He's been positioned to fail, unfortunately.
Right.
And until they change that attitude, and it's probably just... I mean, it's just stubborn Vince being stubborn Vince, that the numbers are going to keep going down. They are. And it's a shame because they could be hitting another golden era with the talent that they have on that roster. They could. There's enough guys there that they could fill two shows. The brand split could be a success, and they could hit new strides and the ratings could soar. But they can't change their mindset to save their lives. I don't really know what else to say on it. Other than that, it's incredibly frustrating to see some of these guys that are super talented have gotten over in every company that they've ever worked before, including WWE-owned properties like NXT. And then as soon as they get to that main roster, it's like they all of a sudden they've forgotten everything that got them there, and they can't get over. I can't blame that on the talent as much as I can blame it on the booking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I know that, you listen to some of those shows like The Writer's Room and things like that. I mean, they tell you that, there are guys that they want to push but aren't allowed to, because ultimately Vince is the one in the end. And there's been several instances that you've seen that where some of these guys are so over with the fans. Cesaro and the Cesaro section comes to mind. And they'll get kind of like a little half-assed push, and then that's it. Either they get hurt or they just, it's like, it's over. We're done with it. And I don't get it. And, I mean, yeah, you can reshuffle the cards with the brand splits and stuff, but, I mean, eventually, everybody's going to see those matchups already, so, they got nothing. And
mm-hmm.
in all honesty, I mean, this is the other thing that I was going to say, too, that you look at NXT, all the characters that have come up through NXT are pretty much indie darlings that have come through there, or they were big in New Japan or whatever. Outside of like somebody like a Bayley, or even Charlotte, because Charlotte didn't wrestle on the indies, they have not created their own homegrown champion. Outside of maybe probably Braun Strowman, if he had ever won it. But other than that, it's all guys
yeah.
that they've bought.
Maybe Bray Wyatt.
Okay, yeah.
But even then, that's been hit and miss, like we talked about earlier. But yeah, Braun Strowman is really could be that guy, and Roman Reigns to an extent. I'm not sure how much he was involved in the indies before he went into NXT, but he was not by any stretch some, like you said, indie darling before he went to NXT. So yeah, it's been, and it's really their version of Ring of Honor. If we're going to compare it to anything, that's essentially what they're doing with NXT. But it works, and people say that it wouldn't work on a mainstream level, but you're not filling up 12,000 seat arenas at the takeover shows if it's not getting over with the fans.
Absolutely.
And those are some of the hottest shows WWE produces all year, are those takeover shows. So you can't tell me that if you can't put that product and make it similar on a 2-hour basis or a 3-hour basis. I don't believe that. I don't buy that. I think it's bullshit. I think that mentality that they have in NXT now, and it goes through its ebbs and flows too, is the future of the WWE. And if that's the case, once Vince is officially out and Triple H and his crew kind of take over, then the WWE's future is very bright. But that may not be for a long time. Vince may live forever. I still think he's a vampire because he's 70 years old and is jacked as fuck. And I think he's bringing all these writers in and just like sucking the life force out of them so that he can live forever. He's like a goddamn vampire. But yeah, so if he stays around for 15, 20 more years, he works till he's 90 years old. Fuck, where are the ratings going to be then if they continue to trend like they are? And he's not going to get any less stubborn as he gets older. If anything, he's going to get more ground in and stuck in his ways.
Yep.
So you may see numbers that rival TNA. TNA may be the number two company by default because they're going to be having similar audiences, that hardcore audience that will never leave regardless of how bad the product is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hell, even in the abysmal last few years of WCW, even they still had higher numbers compared to what WWE's doing right now. And that's with all that shitty Russo booking. So it just blows me away to see those numbers like that. And you're right. And I often say too, and I think it's bullshit when people on like Facebook or whatever will get excited that all WWE could buy Impact, or they could buy Ring of Honor. Oh yay, woohoo! Why? If you're a company, you want competition. I know Vince doesn't see it like that, but Coke needs Pepsi. You know, they need those things so they can, you know, have something to bounce off of and not get complacent. And WWE doesn't have it. I mean, New Japan's still a niche product, and all the other ones are so, you know, small on a scale. So it's a shame. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I
don't really know what the answer is if they would want to change it. If they're so stubborn in their ways, they would want to change it. And you're never going to see, I don't believe, a WCW again. You're not going to find a billionaire that Vince is pissed off that wants to just open a wrestling company just to try to put him out of business like Ted Turner did. Because Ring of Honor has a multi-billion-dollar backer. Impact Wrestling has a multi-billion-dollar backer. They ain't doing shit. They had a TNA had one for years with Dixie and her family. They're loaded. Did not help the product. If anything, they went out and bought old, decrepit stars, and that really damaged the product. So I hope New Japan does well. I wish Sinclair would put more money in the Ring of Honor, do something with that. I think Ring of Honor has a lot of potential, but to ever have that Monday Night War feel again, I don't think it's ever going to happen. And that's going to lead to complacency and lead to the product to continually decline and decline and decline.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I just checked my phone. We see that Mike Bennett and Maria showed up on Money in the Bank. So there's another great...
Are they in the match?
No, they just went out and cut a promo or whatever. So...
Okay.
I mean, that's another quality gift for them again. I'm
they're on SmackDown, so they'll have a little bit more to do there.
Yeah, I'm a big Mike Bennett fan. I think he's really underrated, so...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and then
Maria's easy on the eyes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
I would say she's probably hotter than a crack pipe on payday.
I think he could fill that role that Miz left when he went to Raw, which we could talk about too. Is how bad they fucked up with The Miz moving him to Raw. I think he's lost a lot of steam.
Yeah.
But I think Bennett could fill that role, that arrogant, cocky prick role on SmackDown, and with Maria playing that same role, that power couple role, I think would be I think he could do a lot of interesting things. I really liked him in Impact. I thought he did really well there with the Miracle gimmick, and I like their presentation there, so I'm kind of curious. I'll have to check out Money in the Bank once I get off of here to see what they're going to do with him. But even SmackDown, which I had been watching exclusively when they did the brand split because I felt like the product was way better, it's really dwindled. And what I've seen them do with Nakamura, and I don't know what happened tonight, so I can't speak on if he won the Money in the Bank or not, was really depressing how they've introduced him and promoted him. And I think it really, if you want to see the dichotomy between the WWE-branded NXT and the WWE-branded SmackDown and Raw main roster shit, is how NXT brought Shinsuke Nakamura in and the epic match that he had with Sami Zayn and that made him look like a fucking star right out of the gates, to how they brought him in to SmackDown and really just made him look substandard against a guy that's really talented too, and they've really done a number on in a negative way, Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. That match was so fucking brutal, and you've booked Dolph Ziggler so shitty for years to have him control most of the match against a guy that you've been touting as this fucking amazing talent. Just really, to me, he just dumped a bucket of shit on Nakamura right out of the gates, and they haven't really done much over the last month to improve that. I don't know. And I'm not sure if it's him just being complacent, too, because he has that reputation that he's a big match guy and that's it. But it's been really sad to see, because he's really one of my favorite talents at any company. And I was excited to see what he would do in the WWE. But it's been really depressing lately.
Well, I almost feel like his NXT run outside of like the first couple big matches he had really wasn't that, like, it didn't stand out to me like a Finn Balor or a Samoa Joe or even a Kevin Owens. It seemed really just like there. And then even I liked his debut. I liked everything leading up to the Ziggler match. And then the Ziggler match was a letdown. And from what I've followed or seen, it's, you're right. There's something not there. I mean, obviously the fans are still behind him, but It's just, yeah, it's almost like he's just another guy, and he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And
I almost wonder if he needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Someone that can talk for him. Cause he does, I mean, he knows English, but he really struggles. And for whatever reason, they're making him talk with his mouth guard in,
mm-hmm.
which I sound awful as is. I know I listen to this podcast and it's usually pretty shitty, but if I put a mouthpiece, it's going to be a lot worse. So someone with broken English already, it's hard to understand, and you're going to put a fucking mouthpiece in him. That's not going to help him at all. Again, goofy choices like that, I think, really stick out. And while I'm excited for these guys when they get signed by the WWE, because that's the place to be and where you can make the most amount of money,
mm-hmm.
there's so many horror stories of these guys going there and just their careers taking a giant turd critically, maybe not financially, but critically. And some of them don't get that back when they leave. That's the scary thing. I think we're seeing that with a lot of guys, and I think we're going to see that with Ziggler when he leaves. I don't care about Dolph Ziggler anymore. I used to like Dolph Ziggler. I think he's great in the ring. I think he could have been a star there, but when he's on TV, I just don't care anymore. And it's because of the way he's been booked. And he comes across as a person that doesn't seem like he gives a shit anymore either. And I think he'd be a guy that would be successful in a New Japan environment or a Ring of Honor environment, but it may be too little too late for him. And now with to kind of tie everything together with New Japan entering this American market, I would have loved to seen Nakamura for that.
Oh,
especially,
yeah.
I mean, I think Naito is really going to catch fire over here. But, man, I think Nakamura in an American market with a company that understands him and understands how to use him,
mm-hmm.
I think he could have been a huge star. And it's still early for him in the WWE. Maybe they'll figure it out and sort him out. But the track record shows that's not likely the case.
No, he almost, outside of, and it's one of the things I'm proud of haven't done, but I wanted to see sort of the same similar presentation, but it almost needs to be like a Gary Hart, Great Muda type presentation with Nakamura, minus the little bit of the blatant racism and the green mist. But that just that type of presentation, though, that you have this, whether it's an American back or hell, you got Funaki. He can speak English. Put Funaki out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say that he brought this guy over here because he was tearing it up in Japan and he wanted to unleash him on the American wrestlers. Do that.
Or there's a guy that hasn't been used in a while that I've always been a big fan of and thought would do well in the WWE is James Mitchell. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do you ever hear the Sinister Minister? I think it was like James Vandenberg in WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Look him up. He reminds me of a more over-the-top Gary Hart. I think, and I guess there was rumors that he was going to be in the Dirty Dutch role for the Real Americans with Swagger and Cesaro. He was originally supposed to be that, and for whatever reason it fell apart and Dirty Dutch got it. But I think in that type of role, in that Gary Hart role like you described, I think he would be perfect for Nakamura,
mm-hmm.
in regards to selling him. Because I never understood why he didn't connect with the WWE. But he's a hell of a manager, and I think in that position he would do a world of wonders for Nakamura. But
oh, absolutely.
Probably would never happen.
No, and that's why it gets depressing.
Yeah. This has been a depressing show, so.
Yeah.
We're getting close to nut-cutting time here. You got any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Well, the only thing that I got is, you know, I know that we've cut up on WWE a little bit, but there's still other good stuff out there. And like Gary said, it's easy to find, easy to check out. Tons of Facebook groups will post videos of matches that you may not have access to. So just just check them out and have an open mind, because there is other better stuff out there besides the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Progress Wrestling in the UK is awesome. Rev Pro in the UK is awesome. ICW in the UK is awesome. New Japan, All Japan. Lucha Underground is on Netflix. Impact's been doing some interesting things lately. It's still hit and miss, but it's worth a watch if you have a chance. Ring of Honor always is great. Combat Zen Wrestling's kind of going through a transition. They're great. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, check out IWC. They've been really putting on some great shows, and hopefully they'll catch on and grow a little bit bigger. AAW is another one. There's a lot of great promotions out there to check out, and they'll do a lot of different things. So there, if WWE is not your cup of tea anymore, like it's not for Joey or I, there is a lot of places to get your wrestling fix. So I think we can wrap it up with that. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week.
Nope.
But we'll just kind of fly by the seat of our pants and see. Again, check out the Facebook group, Ringside Chat. It should pop up on a search. Check out our Twitter. Check out our Facebook. Download the show. Like and subscribe. Give us some reviews if you can. It all helps get more eyes on our product. Like we've talked about before, we're working on getting some talent interviews. We've been in contact with a few people, so trying to make that a reality. Over the next week, I'll have our first of many interviews with Facebook group members. This one will be with Richard Pate. I did it a few weeks ago. It should be entertaining, to say the least. Very interesting guy if you've been in the group. So definitely check that out, and check out my stuff at PW Ponderings.
That's all I got.
All right, so we will see you next week. Bye. We came to party rock. Everybody is on. Shots, 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 shots.